Dear colleagues, the rest of this day will be devoted to reports and proposals on concluding Samson projects. The scheme will be the following, because we have a lot of contributions, I think six ones. One of them is even a double one. So that's why I once again ask all the contributors to keep on time, which you will be warned by Oleg by showing such numbers and so on. So please, whenever you see such numbers, please take it into account and conclude within the time limit shown. All presenters will have a certain time as announced, and afterwards we will always have 10 minutes time for questions and discussions. The results, as always, will be summarized in our recommendations, which will be once again discussed tomorrow morning, with, possibly with the directorate, but more importantly, in the general discussion. So that's the overall scheme, and the first contributor is Denis Kozlenko. So please, Denis, it's your turn.
Thank you, Denis. My today report, good morning, dear colleagues. My today report is devoted to concluding theme, investigations of condensed matter by modern neutron scattering methods for the period of last 3 years, and proposal for its extension for period of next 3 years. These themes was mostly realized on the basis of Department of Neutron Investigations of Condensed Matter. You can see its structure. It has two sectors, diffraction sectors composed of four groups, and neutron optics sectors composed of three groups. And also two independent groups directly under leadership of the head of department. Total staff number is 105 persons. Among them, the main staff of 47, staff from member states 39, so about one half of the people from member states of GNR, and part occupancy staff of 90 persons. Among them, 40 persons younger than 35 years old, and if we consider the average age of the personnel of department, it's equal to 42.7 years. The main research directions have been already shown by Professor Natt in his first presentation of today. So you see it here. It's physics and chemistry of novel functional materials, physics of nanosystems and nanoscale phenomena, physics and chemistry of complex liquids and polymers, molecular biology and pharmacology, materials and engineering sciences. The full report, scientific report on team implementation and as methodical development, contains 80 pages, and it's available at the web page of the PAC materials at indica.gnr.ru, so you can take note of it. And here I just present briefly some highlights received during these 3 years. I will start from the study of novel type of charge ordering state in iron oxide, iron 4, oxygen 5, involving competing dimer and trimer formation. As you know, for many years, three basics iron oxide were known. Magnetite, the first known magnetic material in the world, ancient people used as a compass. Hematite, iron 3 or oxygen 4, and iron ore. The lattice is not stable, and normally it exists as diffusional forms. And recently, a new form has been synthesized under application of high pressure and high temperature. It's iron 4, oxygen 5. And it appears that these compounds demonstrate a novel type of electronic states in the structure. It contains the localization of the electronic states between two or three neighboring iron atoms, and all of them form a three-dimensional network in the complex crystalline structure of this material. And this formation of exotic electronic states is accompanied by a phase transition from semiconducting to insulating states, and also change of the magnetic structure from antiferromagnetic to canted magnetic structure containing magnetic ferromagnetic component and spontaneous magnetization. This paper has been published in Nature Chemistry last year, impact factor 32. I can say that the neutron part of this work was fully performed in Dubna at our reactor. One of the teams we recently started in our department, this is evolution of electrodes and compact electrical power sources. Many of compounds were studied, and one of prospective compounds to improve some characteristics of such sources like lithium ion accumulators, like capacitance and some others, are lithium cobalt oxide, in which cobalt is doped by some aluminium and some nickel. And the structural evolution of this electrode has been studied in real time as a function of charging and discharging of this accumulator in time. You see here the curve of charging and discharging. And this is behavior of diffraction lines of cathode and anode. Anode is graphite, and on charging, lithium penetrates in, and intercalation phases of lithium with carbon are formed, you can see here. And so from this information, it's possible to study the structural features of these charging-discharging processes at microscopic level, and this information is important for further design of electrode materials for compact electron car, electric current source, and as well as for development of new sources of such type. Another field we have a good expertise and performed unique experiments here in Dubna is a study of condensed matter under extreme conditions. In particular, recently we have developed a new diffractometer, GN6, which enables to study materials at very high pressures, up to about half a megabar pressure scale. And one of the recent studies is a crystalline magnetic structure of chromium oxide escalloid, chromium 203. Escalloid is one of well-known functional material, and this is actually one of the first discovered magnetoelectric materials. So it becomes ferroelectric if you apply it external magnetic field. Moreover, magnetic order in this material forms at temperatures exceeding ambient one. So it's very good material and prospective for technological applications to manipulate by ferroelectric polarization by external field and vice versa. And it was debated that it's possible that this compound, magnetic structure of this compound, which provides magnetoelectric response, is not stable upon compression, and it transforms to another phase, magnetic phase, which is not ferroelectrically active under magnetic fields, at high pressure above 20 GPeV, so it's 200,000 atmospheres. We performed two series of experiments at moderate pressure up to 10 GPa using sapphire cells, and also another set of experiments up to 1/3 of the megabar scale, 35 GPa using diamond anvil cells. You see here diffraction patterns, and this line is magnetic. It contains measure of magnetic contribution, and actually we have seen no changes of the magnetic structure of this material. So it's stable under compression at least up to 1/3 of the megabar. And we also evaluated evolution of the new temperature. As you see, the magnetic order becomes stronger upon compression and new temperature increases. Actually, increasing rate of this temperature is higher than in other chromium oxides. It's one of the highest known for chromium oxides so far. And it will be one of our first publications for the studies of materials at really ultra-high pressures, here up to 1/3 megabar pressure scale. Fullerene's complexation with anti-tumor drugs were studied also in solutions. Several drugs were studied, doxorubicin, cisplatin, and vancomycin. And these are very aggressive active pharmacological ingredients, and so they have a high mutagenic activity. It appears that all of these drugs form a complex structural forms with fullerenes. You can see it here, and they also have different scale. You can see here some data from small angle X-ray scattering and also small angle neutron scattering composed also with atomic force microscopy, and the structural characterization of these materials has been estimated as well as mutagenic activity. The important result was that such complexations suppresses the mutagenic activity of these highly active drugs, so there are less damage to the human body when you combine it with fullerenes. And a couple of papers has been published in very highly ranked journals like Nanoresearch and Royal Society Advances recently. Another problem related to soft matter which has been solved is mechanism of passive transport in lipid bilayers. A lipid bilayer is important part of the cell and for penetrating of the matter, particles, substances, and so on. And at a finite temperature, it contains vibrations. And so it's important to know how these particles are penetrating. What is the mechanism? It's important for studies the mechanisms of drug delivery up on the skin, skin barriers of the organisms. This problem has been studied by a method complementary to neutron scattering, which is a small angle X-ray scattering. You can see here some typical data. It appears that upon vibration, these membranes perform local short-lived molecular clusters. So you have a fluctuations of the density in this cluster, and they have formed some pores, which are the routes for penetration of the materials. And characteristic sizes of the these clusters has been evaluated to be at nanometer scale. It's about from 1.1 to 1.6 millimeter. And this paper has been published in Nature Communications Journal with impact factor 12. Another team, which has been just recently started at our laboratory, is monitoring of electrochemical processes at the interface of metal electrode and liquid electrolyte by neutron reflectometry. Studies of such kind become possible only after we have designed a new reflectometer grains for studies of liquid and soft interfaces. And special electrochemical cells has been constructed for such type of experiments. And it appears that it is boundary between the liquid electrolyte and solid electrode, and so-called intermediate solid electrolyte interface appear. And the lithium is deposited from electrolyte to this interface. And it's possible to monitor with time how much lithium is deposited on and track the thickness of this lithium case. You can see it here. And it's important for study and development of novel types of compact power sources. We will have a special project in our team related to this term, and in next talk by Dr. Avdeev, it will be more detailed studies and information of this kind of research. Another problem we have studied is different types of proximity effects in varied magnetic structures. One of the kinds of the structures we studied, this is a magnetic material, iron, combined between two superconducting materials of different nature. Here it was vanadium and niobium. And the dynamics of the magnetic states below the superconductor temperature has been studied. As you know, that superconductivity normally destroys the magnetism, but at nanoscale there can be some coexistence of this phenomena. You can see here magnetic scattering as function of temperature. On temperature lowering below the superconducting temperature of both vanadium and niobium, it's hardly suppressed, but not fully disappeared. It appears that some kind of nanoscale clusters has been formed in these materials, and within the cluster you have a ferromagnetic orientation of the moments. And for each such a cluster, which has a nanoscale, we can find another cluster with opposite direction. So we have something like antiferromagnetic order, but not in the scale of atomic distances, but in the scale of domain distances, or cluster distances. And this state has been called as cryptoferromagnetic state. A structure and dynamics, a number of different functional and pharmacological materials also have been studied. One of the systems studied was lovastatin. Lovastatin is known to be a very efficient drug for treatment of cholesterol level in human bodies. And the important point that it was certified by Food and Drug Agency of USA for medical treatment. It has a complex structure, and in order to design further medical ingredients on the basis of lovastatin, it's necessary to know its crystal structure and details, and also different properties, including vibrational properties. Here you can see the sketch of the molecule of lovastatin. It's quite complex. You can see many molecular groups. Its crystal structure, also very complex, but orthorhombic. And also, you can see here vibrational spectra obtained by different methods. Inelastic neutron scattering spectra obtained in Dubna, and the complementary spectra obtained by terahertz spectroscopy outside in institutions of member states of GNR. And after solution of all this data, along with the ab initio simulations, dynamics of these materials has been solved in detail. In particular, the most intense modes of vibrations has been assigned to vibrations of specific molecular groups of this complex molecule, as you can see here. A number of research related to industrial and construction materials has been performed as well. One of such examples is a study of so-called transformation-induced plasticity steels. These steels combine elastic properties and plastic properties in necessary nature, and they are very important materials for design of different constructions and mechanisms. These materials contain four phases: austenite, martensitic phases, and also amorphous zirconium dioxide. And this material has been studied as a function of tensile load. You can see here the sample we performed, we placed in the loading machine. It was elongated to different strands of the deformation. And during these deformation processes in situ, the diffraction patterns were performed. And the curve of how strain depends on the applied load have been studied. You can see, depending on the concentration of the zirconium dioxide, you can see different combination of elastic and plastic deformation in these materials. Also, geophysical objects were studied from the preferred orientation of texture of different recrystallizing earthworks. In the rocks, it's possible to analyze the geotectonical processes which take place in different parts of our Earth. In particular, the samples of Earth rocks eclogites taken from Tauern Window, Austria, has been studied. This is a special region in Austria where the rocks from the outside the Earth coming to the surface. And so by studying of these Earth rocks, you can model the processes, geotectonic processes, which are performed in Europe in this region. And you can see some textures of eclogite, which has been studied in Dubna using neutron texture analysis, and also reference to publications. One of the recent and active research we started is the application of neutron tomography and radiography to different kinds of objects. And we established very good collaboration with the Institute of Archaeology of Russian Academy of Sciences, and many different objects of cultural heritage, unique objects were studied. You can see here as an example the results of the study of the part of the old Russian ancient bracelet dated to 14th century, found in Tver, so-called Tver treasure, in 2014. You can see it's very rusty and it contains on the surface many copper sulfides and oxides, and it's difficult to see how it looks like. And after neutron tomography, due to different neutron contrast to main component of this bracelet, which is a copper, and its sulfide oxide and also gold coating, it's possible to make 3D modeling and extract from there just a model of the pure part of this bracelet as it was like in 14th century. You can see it here in very detailed with a spatial resolution of about 200 microns. It's possible to evaluate this 3D tomographic model and further use it for restoration of this object. Another example is a study of gold Scythian jar dated to about 4th century before Christ. You can see it. It's closed, and it was a question how it's organized and is it empty or not. You can see that tomography clearly shows that it's not empty. Some substance is still inside for many years, even for hundreds of years. And it's possible to visualize everything and to see how this jar is constructed to study ancient technologies just from tomography. Important part of the team realization was the user policy. I will not go to detail because it was also reviewed in the first talk by Professor Nagy. You can see that for last years we have 50% increase in the level of the proposals in different kinds of the interdisciplinary research. And I can say that for the first half of 2017, we have about 116 proposals received. So we expect that figures for this year will be at least comparable with this one. So it will be, seems to be not less. So we will be at least to the same level, but maybe even we receive more proposals for the next half of the year. Now I'm going to methodical results. Two detector system was put into operation at the N6 diffractometer for studies of microsamples. You can see it here. And due to this installment, it was possible to increase the dispacing range available on experiments from about 5.5 to 11 angstrom. It's very important for study of magnetic materials. So now we can study more complex and more longer distanced magnetic materials. You can see here some patterns obtained for this complex oxide, lithium, manganese, tellurium oxide, measured by neutron diffraction and two scattering angles. It was a special project within our team, which has been finished last year. It was concentrated on reconstruction of one of our diffractometer, DN2, into a special real-time diffractometer. Many activities were performed in the framework of this project. In particular, the neutron guide has been replaced. Detector system was replaced. A new special diaphragm has been installed here. Now this instrument is available for operation. It receives many applications from both internal scientists for research and as well as for external users. And also its detector system is still in development and it will be a little bit developed further. During last years, also global modernization of high-resolution Fourier diffractometer has been performed, which is a unique instrument, combines reverse time-of-flight diffraction method using neutron Fourier chopper, splitting a long neutron flux into a set of the very narrow fluxes with widths of about just 7 microseconds. And it was quite an old instrument. And actually, on 11 June, it was 25 years from the receipt of the first neutron diffraction pattern of this instrument. So this is a quarter century anniversary of this instrument. And due to this anniversary, a full upgrade of this instrument has been performed. In particular, a new neutron guide with a vertical parabolic focusing was installed. Only mirrors were fabricated and they were installed in old vacuum casing. And in this way, we have saved some money. And also, new Fourier chopper has been designed and fabricated and installed in beam lines. You can see that as a result of modernization, the neutron flux was increased in a factor between about 2.3 and 3, depending on the specific wavelengths. So we have now a new quality of this instrument. Now it's fully operational, and it will be able to get it efficiently see at least in 2 times larger than it has. At Fourier stress diffractometer, a new radial galimeter has been installed. This was performed with support of the BMBF project in GNR. You can see this calibrator, and gauge volume now is equal up to 1.8 millimeters, which is of the best level, one of the best level with the other facilities of this kind of other neutron centers. And here you can see neutron focusing of the neutron beam at the sample positions. Also, project on reconstruction of reflex reflectometer into small angle neutron spectrometer is going on. This activity is also performed in collaboration with BMBF GNR project. In particular, one of the important parts was the installation of the new neutron guide at beam line number 9 of IBA2. You can see here the old and new incident neutron spectrum. Previously, it was no neutron guide, just some vacuum collimator. And you can see now we have two orders of magnitude increase of intensity of this instrument. So it will be really very good and functional instrument. Then it will be completed. We expect it will be probably next year the basic configuration will be available. Also, at the beamline number 13, we installed the Fourier stress spectrometer, which one of the spectrometers available from closed GKSS center in Germany. And it was moved to Dubna because it was a good device to develop correlation techniques. And we also developed correlation techniques here. We had one Fourier beamline number 13, and now these components of these spectrometers is installed there. And the first test experiments has been already performed. You can see here, it also was a very large volume of the activities to perform. In addition to neutron instruments, we also purchased complementary laboratory equipment, X-ray diffractometer Panalytical Imperium, and also a standard Raman spectrometer Horeb. These two equipments will be complement a lot the neutron scattering research, and it will be possible to do a complex research by several methods at the same place, which is important for current standards of research activities in condensed matter physics, material science, and relevant fields. Summarizing the scientific part and the methodical part, in total, up to now, so it's about 2.5 years, we have 287 publications, 324 conference reports, one patent, international prizes, GNR, two GNR prizes, both first ones. Financial report is here. It was guided by the 7-year plan for the last period of 7 years, and it was restricted by the actual limitations of funding from year to year. For current year, we don't know exactly how it will evolve through the year, and so I cannot say actual funding for this year at the moment. Also, we had additional funding sources, like the grants of plenipotentiary, BMBF GNR agreement, Republic of South Africa GNR agreement, Arab Republic of Egypt agreement, state contracts of Ministry of Science Education, grants of Russian Foundation for Basic Research, also Russian Science Foundation, and also grants of International Atomic Energy Agency. Now I come to the proposal for the extension of the team. Taking into account the purposes and goals of the 7-year plan of the GNR strategic development for the next period of 2017-2023, we formulated an extended content of the team. The basic research directions remain actual at the current time scale, so they are the same. Here you can see sub-directions, which are linked to each of these directions I shown. It will be a study of structure and properties of novel functional materials, study of structure and properties of materials under extreme conditions, study of fundamental regularities of real-time processes in condensed matter, computer modeling of physical and chemical properties of novel crystalline and nanostructured materials, study of magnetic properties of layered nanostructures, study of structural characteristics of carbon and silicon-based materials, study of molecular dynamics of nanomaterials, study of magnetic colloid systems at bulk at interface state, structural characterization of polymer nanodispersed materials, study of structural characteristics and functional properties of biological materials, study of structure and properties of lipid membranes and lipid complexes, study of texture and physical properties of U.S. rocks, minerals, and construction materials, non-destructive control of residual stresses in industrial products and construction materials, neutron imaging of internal structure of industrial products, construction materials, cultural and natural heritage objects, and study of radiation damage effects in condensed matter but by complementary X-ray spectroscopy method. Here you can see scientific results. I will not go into detail. So it will be dedicated on the studies of parameters of atomic and magnetic structure of different bulk and nanostructure materials, including functional materials, materials under extreme conditions, different kinds, types of layered nanostructures, soft matter like polymers, biological...
Excuse me, Janis, it makes no sense that you read it. I think
give some brief lines. And also, industrial studies will be continued, like studies of different construction materials, geophysical objects, studies of microstructure, of objects of cultural heritage, natural heritage, and other objects. Also, methodical activities will also contribute development of instrumentation of IBA2, development of neural scattering methods. It will be two projects. One project, isotope identifying neutron reflectometry, is going on. It will be finished next year. And we will open a new project, which will be a subject of next talk of today. Here you can see methodical result. In brief, I can say that we have three groups of activities. First is development of new diffractometers and reflectometers, DN6, grains, neutron tomography and radiography, also improvement of technical parameters of already operational spectrometers, also development of small-angle spin echo spectrometer, development of new components of new small-angle spectrometers of beamline number 10, and also development of neutron scattering methods. User program will be also important part of our activity. The next round for submission will be in the middle of October in 2017. Here you can see a cooperation list of our team. It contains more than 100 organizations with a measure member states of our institute, as well as associated member states, and also external states. And here you can see the planned budget of the team. According to these groups of activities I have shown you, they are restricted to the limitation of 7-year strategic plan, and it's just taken from there as approved by Scientific Council and Committees of Plenipotentiaries. And you have three reference
Could you please conclude your presentation?
On this team, and so thank you for your attention.
So thank you very much. I'm very sorry for having pressed you, but you say we have strict time limits. Now we have the referee reports. The scheme will be always the following. Should the referee be present, in this case there are two referees who are present, they should read very briefly their report, not the whole text of course, just a brief summary. And in case the referee is not present, Oleg will do the same. So in this case, the first reviewer is Professor Alexeyev. So please, Pavel.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I have said in short from the beginning that under such leadership, we can expect nothing more than success. So I cannot find any defects in the report about the fulfillment of the CM, and I see that the new project is quite reasonable and well balanced. So it is devoted to some science which is interdisciplinary in the character. The report demonstrates that there was published about 300 articles in well positioned journals. Also it was some about 300 of conference presentation, and it was several prizes of international level. So important addition of the scientific results and scientific program for future is activities according to user program, which is also developed reasonable way. And also they put attention to the development of experimental facilities of IBER 2 reactor. Of course, in this sense, my personal view may be differ from the view of leader of this team, but this is not the subject of the report, I have to say. So there are successful fulfillment and reasonable continuation. And the point is that the collaboration of which is behind this team is very representative due to broad type of organization which is involved and many well-known scientists behind it. I have say only it's about 100 of different institutions which are supposed to be participants of the fulfillment of the scientific team. So it's quite successful results and promising continuation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Pavel. So the next reviewer is not present, it's Professor Osipov, so our secretary will say a few words to them.
Okay. Yes, actually, the report by Professor Osipov from Bogoliubov Laboratory of Theoretical Physics reflects very similar things to said by Professor Alexeyev. It is also mentioned that the number of articles in highly reviewed journals are published. It is also underlined the interdisciplinary character of the studies that are proposed, that are performed, and that are proposed in the future. The user program, of course, this important field of activity within this team, upgrade of the IBER 2 spectrometers. The important point that TEM is, let's say, equipped with highly qualified staff that enables to perform the studies that are suggested for the next 3 years. And, of course, the involvement of, let's say, young generation and a large number of young scientists in this activity. Actually, this is the most important points that are mentioned by this referee. So, and I will just skip time and do not continue reading all of that. So this is just the main points that are mentioned by Professor Osipov. So, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Oleg. The third reviewer is Professor Skuratov, who is lucky enough present. So please, Volodya, say a few words about it.
Morning. The work which was done during TEM implementation last few years is definitely of considerable scientific and practical value. It's conformed hundreds of publications and prices. As for me, it's a very good sign. It's continuously increased numbers of proposals and external users. It means that spectrometers and installations are very competitive and attractive. Also, I would like to emphasize very good balance between senior staff and young scientists. It's almost one third part of young scientists involved in corresponding activity. I think no one laboratory could, or department in any laboratory could say the same. As for planet activity, my strong recommendation is to focus activity on further development of real-time methods, which are, as for me, most informative in material science. And of course, I strongly support, I strongly recommend to endorse further continuation of this activity for next years with first priority. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Volodya. So as you have seen, all the three reviewer reports were positive and endorsing this proposal, which is of course the main activity of IBR2 et al. So let me ask whether there are further questions or comments. I don't think it makes sense just to reiterate the endorsement. Should this not be the case? Oh, okay. So, Toby.
Question, which is,
microphone, please.
6.1, this is investigations of condensed matter by modern neutron scattering methods, but you talked also about instrument upgrades. How does that differ from 6.3, which is development of experimental facilities for condensed matter investigations? Is that which Kulikov is going to talk about this afternoon? How is that different?
I would suggest to postpone it when we will see this proposal, which is actually a double proposal, by the way, by Kulikov, and afterwards I think it would make a sense to discuss it. Well, it's up to you, of course. But
no, I'm just confused, that's all. But I would like to make just one comment. A second question. So the science highlights which you showed, is it right that this is work that's been done internally within JINR, or are the highlights from external groups who have used JINR, but the engagement of JINR staff is as the local contacts?
Okay, I can see that I think more than half of highlights takes from JNR. So it's internally proposed studies and performed at IBR2. But in some cases, they were complemented by studies at external centers. For instance, you have seen examples where small-angle neutron scattering has been combined by small-angle X-ray scattering. So it was necessary to go to another center. But the idea was proposed by our staff members. Some tasks are proposed by external users, but not many, no less than 30% of highlights I've shown.
So this is still emphasizing that sort of the majority of the high-quality work at IBR2 is actually internally driven rather than externally.
Yes. Actually, I specially selected highlights just based mostly on IBR2 results. The exception only this dynamics of lipid membrane for passive transport, which was made at ESRF. Just one exception.
Okay.
The measured results of other tasks were received here in Dubna.
I've just got one comment, actually, which just caught my eye as you were going through, which was the upgrade to the reflectometer, the CSANDS. You had an increase in flux of 10 to the power of 2. I just want to draw to the attention that a cheap upgrade to an instrument gave an increase in count rate, which was exceeding that which was suggested might come from the next source. So it just emphasizes the importance of investment in instrumentation, not just the flux.
Thank you very much for the very good remark. It was indeed a good case of modernization because it was just a usual vacuum tube instead of neutron guide, and the replacement of it by neutron guide gives two orders of magnitude of neutron flux.
So it could be due to underinvestment previously in the instruments, or imagination of doing something with an existing instrument, or a bit of both, I'm not sure. But whatever it implies, that investment should go into instrumentation.
Yes, we agree.
On your sample for lithium battery materials, is it just sample prepared in the laboratory, or is it a real use from a manufacturer which goes into a real battery?
So yes,
is there any relation with a manufacturer, or is it just scientific interest?
It was a commercially available electrode. It was a commercially available electrode. Yes,
okay,
this one.
Thank you.
It was commercially available.
Thank you once again. No further questions, comments. Thank you, Yanis.
Thank you.
There is obviously an overlap, a certain overlap between the first two, three, or even four the proposals. Not everything can be separated. So maybe we can come back to all these questions afterwards, and finally at the general discussion. Now the floor is yours, Misha. Professor Avdeyev will give a presentation on the proposal for opening a new project, a system for neutron operando monitoring and diagnostics of materials and interfaces for electrochemical energy storage devices at the IBR2 reactor. So, on the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dear colleagues, I would like to present you the proposal for a new project. The title was already mentioned, and I should add that this is the project with, besides FLNP Jinner, the people from other research centers are involved. This is Moscow State University and Dubna University. So the outline of my presentation is the following. I will give you motivation, objectives, physical and methodical background of the project, expected results, general scheme of the project, and finally the costs and summarizing conclusion. So in 200 years after the first electrochemical battery design, there is still a great progress in the development of the electrochemical devices for energy storage, and the corresponding curve, the growth in the specific energy accumulated is related mainly with the use of lithium. And you can see the corresponding line is still far from saturation, and the estimates of the future sources predict great changes in our life, the drastic changes in our life as concerns batteries and accumulators. But the use of lithium for high specific energy accumulation faces in some cases problems with safety, safe operation. So the main challenges of the development of the new energy storage devices based on lithium is high specific energy accumulation and safety. In this connection, there are two basic research interests which can be which are actively studied. This is electrode structure evolution and interface evolution in such devices, And the first direction is related to the studies of evolution of the crystal structure of electrodes when lithium intercalates into its structure, and also interface evolution is of interest because the modification of the boundary between electrode and electrolyte and which correspond to formation of solid electrolyte interface, so-called passivation layer on the surface of electrode. And in some cases this can be ended in the growth of stochastic aggregates, dendrite type structure, which causes the problems with the effective use of effective use and safety of these batteries. And there is a great demand to study this process in the so-called operando mode, which means that you probe the systems under investigation, then they are under operation, so for operating electrodes and interfaces. And thermal neutrons are well suited for this purpose because of high penetrating power, because of weak interactions with atoms, the sensitivity to light elements, and lithium in the light elements, and the possibilities for wide range of materials, so-called isotopic substitutions, the points which were already mentioned partially in the previous talk of Professor Kucherka. So as compared to other method, we were involved in recent years in this analysis and showed that scattering of thermal neutrons allows one to investigate hidden or buried structures in electrode materials and interfaces in electrochemical storage devices for electrochemical storage devices, mainly in, of course, artificial schemes, model schemes. This is what concerns the basic research. And important from a practical viewpoint, feature of neutron scattering is that the average information on the volume or surface of electrodes is obtained, and this really avoids in some cases artifacts often related in other method with the locality of information and which can be influenced by numerous factors. So this type of research is rather reproducible. And finally, the main point which really initiate this proposal I'm presenting the organization and conduct of high quality operand experiments with electrode materials and interfaces for electrochemical energy storage devices require inappropriate, I would say, electrochemical infrastructure. So the project objectives are development of common approaches to the effective use of neutron scattering method, including diffraction, reflectometry, small angle scattering, for the analysis of the structural evolution of various types of electrodes and interfaces for electrochemical energy storage devices during the operation or in operation mode. And this causes the demand to design and development of specialized electrochemical cells and sample environment system for the operand research in neutron scattering experiments. The instruments and methods involved in this project are neutron diffraction, diffractometers, neutron reflectometers, neutron diffractometers HRFD, RATD, neutron reflectometer grains, and small angle neutron scattering setup UMO at the EBI2 reactor. So what concerns the neutron diffraction examples of the successful application of this method for operand research was already shown in the previous talk, I would say that the main feature is that the bulk structure of electrodes are investigated by this method. You can follow the evolution of the diffraction patterns from the electrodes during the cycling in the discharge or charge of the electrodes, and really, the achievement is that it can be done in very reproducible way. So the stability of the already probed cells are very good, and this research is supported actively by different foundations. Still, there are a lot of current tasks, I mean scientific tasks, which are indicated in this slide. This concerns mainly the intercalation and deintercalation of lithium into new materials, included nanostructured silicon, silicon-based metal alloys, vanadium oxide, multivalent compounds, which are characterized by the promising high capacity of the discharge process. Then this is the evolution and degradation of the electrode crystalline structure after short and long, and more maybe for the moment long period operation. This is like quite practical task, and we can formulate fundamental problems, more fundamental problems like phase transition and materials during electrochemical cycling. So for this purpose, we propose to optimize electrochemical cells for diffraction experiment, install a specialized collimation system for incoming and scattered neutron beams. The principal scheme of the experiment is shown here, so you can do it in really almost non-modified non-modified interfaces and electrodes. The only question is the choice of materials which constitute this cell to avoid different parasitic effects like background and additional peaks which complicate the interpretation of the diffraction peaks in the diffraction patterns. And of course this sample environment system is required for the comprehensive studies which include electrochemical equipment and special lines for electrochemical discharging and electrochemical studies. The next method, neutron reflectometry, is what shown successful recently, that there is quite enough sensitivity to the formation of small layers, passivation layers, and these they change during the lithium plating on metal electrodes by neutron reflectivity. And now we have started the study the influence of the different additives, which varies this process and influence this. And the aim is to choose the proper combination to decrease and to regulate this process in real and actual interfaces. So to summarize, the task of current interest in this topic is the complex heterogeneous thin film interfaces based on metals and silicon, again for increasing the capacity of the interfaces, and the interest is the formation of solid electrolyte interface, in some case parasitic effect, in some case this is a useful effect, so there is always an optimization of this effect in practice. Then we have deuterium substitution, which is very often used in practice and well developed, so our task is develop this contrasmeration technique corresponding to this substitution for this electrochemical business. And finally, we want to try to follow the appearance and growth of surface heterogeneities, including dendrite formations on the surface by the diffusion scattering and grazing incident small angle scattering. For this purpose, we already probed two electrochemical cells, serum modifications, when the neutrons pass through the silicon massive substrate and meet the interface of metal and liquid electrolyte, where the modification of the surface takes place during the application of potential. A remote control is made during the experiment. And the maybe the basic task for the moment is that to choose different combination of the material to increase effectively the effect on the reflectivity of the growth of appearance of this layer and its evolution during the operation. So we have different combination and some kind of theoretical and experimental analysis in practice is needed. So the first task is the optimization of reflectometry cell and sample environment system, which provide the this in operanda experiment, synthesis of complex heterogeneous film electrodes for this purpose, complementary diagnostics of electrode surface after neutron scattering experiment. So we need to provide the transportation and the specific treatment of the electrodes after the neutron experiment and process crystalline substrate after neutron scattering experiment. And the final direction of our project concerns the application of small angle neutron scattering. This is the recent proposals realized at the IBO2 reactor on the UMO spectrometer. And it was devoted to the study of the precipitation of the chemical reaction products, peroxide of lithium. So the idea is to use the activity of lithium for with respect to oxygen for production of energy. For this purpose, you need diffusion of oxygen in electrolyte, which fills the carbon porous matrix, and this is well good experiment for small angle scattering because you have carbon electrode, you fill it with and match the porosity at some level in this electrode, and when lithium peroxide comes into the pores, you can see how it goes on, because the big difference between in the contrast the scattering length density between peroxide and deuterated solvent. So first experiment show the sensitivity of this method to the this effect to this process, and the sensitivity to the different electrolytes also has been shown. So the task of the current interest from the scientific viewpoint is the study of deposition of the discharge product like peroxide lithium in lithium air, and another type of promising combination lithium sulfur batteries in operanda mode, and the development of the method for analysis of pore filling in electrode byproducts of electrochemical process, and of course again the we need to increase the efficiency of the use of the contrast mediation technique for in this kind of study. So now there is a well-established study of electric and electrochemical lithium air cell in the Department of Chemistry of Modern Moscow State University, and our task is to somehow to fit this cell to our conditions, the geometry, the combination of the electrodes, electrolytes, separators, and other materials which are involved in the construction, provide the access to the oxygen, and so the requirement of these cells have been formulated. And in the previous study, we used the ex situ research, so at each stage we stop the process, pack the carbon electrode, move it onto the reactor, so it's a lot of works, and of course the in situ research at the reactor will be the next step, which promises to be more informative and more sensitive to the process which can take place in such kind of interfaces. So the task is the development of electrochemical cell first for neutron experiment, and then we want to formulate tasks and to think how the in situ experiments should be done, and the at the reactor, because the discharge takes a long time. So in principle, it should be some kind of modification every situation between real in real time diffraction and so-called ex situ diffraction. So the expected results are shortly summarized in this table with the schedule for 3 years. So for each method or for each technique, we want to produce a number of series of specific cells for studying, for experiments, apply a sample environment system for operanda experiment, and in each case there is additional specific task, like in neutron diffraction, in this special multi-channel cell for charge-discharge line, systems for post-experiment sample diagnostic and storage and treatment for neutron reflectometry. And for small angle scattering, we will think about sample environment system for operanda experiments, because it's necessary to combine with other experiments which are most faster, and it, of course, it's not necessary to always keep the cells into the beam, so we need to remove them then after some time to also to put into the beam. So this is our specific task for SANS method. So in finally, the logo of the project is the creation of the extended sample environment system for complex operanda studies of electrochemical process, which in principle will use the same as far as possible cells for which can be probed by diffraction reflectometry and small angle scattering. So the research will come, it will take place for the same materials, for the same combination, for the same interfaces. But this is really not so easy problem, and this is some kind of optimistic expected result of this project. So the general scheme of the project, so the general tasks of the project are divided between our laboratory, Moscow State University and Dubna University. The tasks of our laboratory is well understandable: manufacturing, organization of experiment, some kind of preparation and support of the line for deposition and polishing of the crystallized substrate to produce the electrodes we want to probe, and diagnostic and special treatments of sample after neutron scattering experiment. Moscow State University, the design and draft project of the cell, so this because it's some kind of adaptation of electrochemical cell to and sample environment system to the neutron experiment, and of course scientific support, which is always important point. In Dubna University, there is engineering center now with good equipment. So this is this center we expected to be somewhat an electrochemical support of our project, and of course we can take to make the test assembly and the electrochemical measurements of our cells and sample environment. So again, the manpower is more wider than I indicated in the first slide. There are a lot of young scientists and quite a number of young scientists and more important students which are already involved in this business with electrochemical studies with the neutrons. And the cost is estimated cost of the project is $450 kilodollars, distributed more or less uniformly over 3 years, and again, this is for specific electrochemical cells, sample environment system, specific potential start, so the sources of power with safety control, which is important issue here, and also sputtering, organization of the sputtering and processing of crystallized substrate, as well as materials which always maybe should be pointed quite expensive. That's why the optimization of the experiment and its and their strict implementation, I would say, accurate implementation without errors and mistakes should be done. So the conclusion, the problem on our view is the project implementation will result in natural extension from crystalline structures to large-scale structures in electrochemical research. So the diffraction method comes to more wider applications with concerning than non-periodical structures. Widening of the possibility for enhanced operando experiments in the field of electrochemistry at IDB2. And our main, of course, task is to increase the number of interested research centers and the number of proposals on these topics under the user policy at IB2. And I think this is can be done when we concentrate our efforts on the specific and well-established task where the real teams from external users are interested in. So this is a suggestion for PAC solutions. You, the members have it. So I would like to thank you for listening and ready to answer the questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Misha, for this very clear presentation and also having observed the time limits. Now we have three reviewer reports again, one of them being present. The first comes from Professor Laszlo Rosta from Budapest, and it will be presented by Oleg.
Yes, just a couple of words about this. First, Rafi, of course, mentioned the scientific case, the importance of the scientific case, and, of course, some practical application of this. It is also points out that this is a very clear and very good demonstration of the abilities of the IBR2 reactor and its setups within the user program that is becomes more and more attractive for other people and other scientists. It is also mentioned that this project will be also equipped with a high professional qualification team that is actually able to perform this work. And actually, the referee is quite positive on the opening of this project, and we didn't find any remarks and any criticism in this referee report. So this is just a brief summary of that.
Thank you very much, Oleg. Lucky enough, the second reviewer, Professor Sangha, is here, so I wonder whether you would like to add some words to your report.
Okay, thank you. My view is totally positive on this project proposed by Dr. Avdayev. But I briefly stay long. Some important points concerning research field and task. This project is devoted to development of neutron scattering instrumentation at IBR2 fast reactor for study in one of the most active research fields with lithium-based electrochemical energy storage device. It present this is very important and challenging task for research neutron centers working in the condensed matter physics to provide outside research with a high level experimental environment. And concerning application.
Sorry, could you be closer to the microphone? It's possible.
Okay, thank you. Concerning application, the expected results of the project are high relevance for practical application. And I want to about teams. The project teams well balanced with respect to representative of various research and instrumentation field involved. In addition, in very positive factors, the participation of in the project of young researchers, which is rather important for the effective application of the project in future. I'm in full support the project. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Professor Snaga. And the third reviewer is Professor Stevenson. It will be presented again by Oleg.
Okay, yes. There's also a referee report from Professor Stevenson, who is director of Skoltek Center in Moscow. He's also positive. The referee report starts from the explanation of benefits of these analytical techniques in comparison with other available for this particular case of studies of electrochemical interfaces. Then the referee again points out that this is a very good demonstration of abilities of the user program at the IBR2. And finally, it's also mentioned the abilities of the team that is suggested for performing this project, and express their hope that this environment, this the setups plan to be developed, will be available soon for the whole electrochemical community. That, of course, will contribute to the attractiveness of the IBR2 and other facilities surrounding the reactor. We also didn't find any, let's say, criticism or strong remarks in this referee report. So we can consider this probably like a positive report as well.
Thank you, Oleg. So in summary, again, all the three referee reports were positive. Nevertheless, the floor is open for comments and questions by PSC. Professor Fuss.
Yeah, thank you for the report. I have one general question and remark and one specific scientific one. The first one is there any relation with industry in your program? So where is the mean, where do you want to introduce batteries which are examined? Because I do not see where, with these developments, you may come behind what is done in Japan, in China, in Germany. You didn't compare that. You just gave references from China. And I do not think that is really the center of battery research in the world. So I think you should really put that in context to what's going on abroad. That was the general question. And the second, but also general, the system, you just looked at the cathode material. You didn't say anything about the electrolyte or the anode. The second point is a scientific question. I didn't understand how you will learn something about the solid electrolyte interface, with what method and what complementary methods will be used. For instance, photon-electron scattering and things like that, and other spectroscopic methods. So I'm not exactly sure what the outcome. You might, of course, produce some papers, no doubt, but what will be the outcome and what is the relation with practical use in your country?
In your country?
No. Yes, please, Mr.
So the first question about the general task. So first of all, we do not have direct connection with industry, and this is really can be called as fundamental research. And this fundamental research is related. Yes, but there is no direct connection, because we need to use a model system to look inside the interfaces. And of course, we have some attempts and contacts already done, and Dr. Kanzelenko told about this. But as was to this project, is mainly developed for the development for fundamental research, fundamental question, how the interfaces and crystalline structures changes during the evolution and how to regulate it. Because maybe the next question, how we obtain information on the solid electrolyte, electrolyte interface, which is really a puzzle for from the structural viewpoint. So we have two ways to study. So you can method of probing and mistakes, probes and mistakes, and you have a scientific approach. So in this case, industry likes to do this. The first case, we try to develop the I call it fundamental research. So there is an effect, we need to detect it, and we need to study it. What processes, what effects result in the, for example, there is no strict formations about the composition of this layer. What is shown here is just imagination in it actually. And this type of experiment can obtain, I mean, neutron reflectometry can follow the formation of this layer, these small changes in the reflectivity curves. In the indication this layer exists on the surface, you can follow the mean scattering length density, the roughness of this layer, the thickness of this layer, and you can see if, for example, in this case, it is used one. This is just for example, one electrolyte. Then it is used another electrolyte. You can see the difference and follow and provide the chemists, who are also fundamental chemists in this sense, with the information, with the structural information. And of course, there is no detailed information for with the neutrons. For example, we can say about how much lithium enriched materials comes into the layer, how much electrolyte comes into this layer, and so on. So this is quite specific but partial and important questions which can be asked by answered by the application of neutron scattering. And this is the example how it can be provided, this kind of information. And what concerns the place of this research in the in the world research, of course, there is a numerous amount of works, and I had some time restrictions for the talks that I restricted just by putting these two reviews on this slide. And really, there is a strict analysis where the neutrons are in this research is done here. So. Shortly, of course, the main problem from our viewpoints and our achievement, the advantage of the using of neutrons, that there is no, this is a high penetrating power, can provide you really massive samples, and you don't need think about interaction of beams with the studied interfaces. For example, if you go to synchrotron, there is always a problem how to avoid the destruction of the electrode during the experiment. So it's always a problem to interpret the data, and you need to do some specific modification and sometimes very strong, which can provide us artifacts, what I called. That's what our message. And really, neutron, of course, it's not so high intensity method, but we have access to non-destructive analysis of this process and interface. That's maybe some short attempt to answer to your very general, really vast question.
Thank you very much, Misha. I guess the basic question is, basic problem is, what do you mean by fundamental research? For me, fundamental research is, for example, let me conclude. For me, fundamental research is to learn something about, say, quark-gluon plasma, or in your case, maybe about the electric dipole moment of neutron. However, you are always speaking about devices. So the basic question is, what is your final objective? is it really first-class high-caliber scientific publications, patents, or immediate industrial applications? That's three different things.
Okay, this is an argument about terminology. As far as I understood, and okay, this is fundamental applied research in this sense. So we, of course, working in the applied field, but this knowledge we produce is not directly for industry. This is not real batteries and no real devices. This is for interfaces which are foreseen for effective development in this industry business. That's
quite... I'm really sorry, Misha.
And devices, this means batteries, of course, on some accumulator. This is general term from the chemistry.
Look, Misha, I think this is a kind of playing with the words. Fundamental applied research, this is something like, I'm sorry, I can tell it only in German,
Eierlegende Wollmilchsau.
It is something which is very complex and non-existing. So could you say clearly, is it fundamental research or applied research? And depending on your answer, what is really your objective? This is the question. And of course, this has nothing to do with the quality of your proposal, which is obviously high. It's no problem with that.
Okay. This is applied research, which is not related directly to fabrication and industry. That's, of course, main in the knowledge, scientific knowledge, which should be published in articles and papers in journals, scientific, and of course we can also submit a patent if we produce some, for example, technical device which can be useful for industry. So it's
okay.
But accent to applied research, general applied research.
Professor Rittgen.
One joke: the best applied research, it's fundamental research. It's very well known.
Okay, I think now we are really again at the philosophical level, which probably belongs to the general discussion, or maybe to the banquet tonight. So, are there any other urgent questions or comments? Professor Fuchs.
Let me just explain what I want to say. For instance, my colleague and former student, he has a contract together with Bosch to develop, the batteries. And the material is coming from Korea. And you are playing just kindergarten before that application. But we are on a competitive world. So you should really look at least at what's going on there. The Japanese in Tokaimura, they build a beamline only for that, nothing else. Kamiyama built that beamline only for that. And you have to compare with all that what's going on in the world and not what's just, of course, Antipov very well, so you have the best solid-state chemist already on board, that's not bad, but you should really go into the competitive contest.
Yes, I agree, but we are in fundamental institute and our task
but
is
the,
to... I will reply. And I am personally for science, because if you look, I just returned from the chemistry conference. We take this one, this with this material, these materials, we mixed it, measure, okay, this is computer. I don't we are not proper in this way to do the work. So our task is to show the science behind this process. And for this showing, we need to develop special devices, special cells which control the process, and we train for science. It's not direct help, direct outcome from this research from the viewpoint of industry, of course.
Okay, Professor Rittgen has one more question.
Nevertheless, your experimental sample, the capacity of it in comparison with industrial products. What situation today? For what you do this work?
We try to to study the process in this kind of materials, indicated as the promising materials for the future increase in capacity. So we because there is no still well working material cells and batteries in this sense, and a lot of companies and a lot of research team also involved in this business to study to try to combine these materials for the better capacities and better characteristics and performance, characteristics of performance, because it's not capacity only, it's stability, it's long life, living, and so on. So.
Thank you once again. There are obviously no more comments and questions, so let me thank once again for the presentation. And now there will be a lunch break. We will reconvene 2:30 sharp, absolutely sharp.
2:30
I think
two
so.
2 hours.
Yeah. 2 hours. Yeah. That's usual. Okay. So I wish you приятного аппетита.
Да нет, это как бы ФУС, это же, как сказать, ФУС, он же детекторщик, он application people.
Да?
Ну, конечно.
Это поэтому... точно меня спросит.
Да, но он хорошо говорит, это одно, слава богу,
да, англичанин. Да?
Даже Денис Петрович англичанин. С Юлиха. Ну, с Мюнхена.